On today's Restump podcast, we've got about 16 hours and 53 minutes at the time of recording until Bounce Down against Carlton tomorrow. Looking forward to this one. Biggest test of the year. Boys better be up for it. It's going to be a good one. Chief's got his new contest. He's finally smoothed off the rough edges and worked out a formula he hopes is going to work. So everyone get around that for Mikasa Property Boutique. No, he hasn't. Anyway, we'll get him on board. He can tell us all about it right after we start wearing purple with Gogo Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restump Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, joined by a man who's never liked Frio, and he's not joking. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Yes. Hello, Jojo.
Are you willing to cop the heat on Twitter?
Am I?
Yeah.
Always. I never do, but I'm always willing, but never do. No, always love. Lived in Frio. Grew up in Frio. Always loved Frio.
You've never liked Frio.
Love Frio. Don't call me David King. So... Kingy doesn't like Frio, Jojo.
I think was he leaning into that a little?
Of course he was. Just baiting. Likes people talking about him. What do they say? There's only one thing worse than being talked about. It's not being talked about. That's Kingy, isn't it?
It sounds more like Kane Corns, doesn't it?
It is a bit, isn't it? Got his head kicked in the other night.
I didn't see
Nathan
that.
Nathan Brown.
Was that... I saw that someone put some other highlights of the first round. It looked like Nathan Brown actually had a boxing technique, whereas Kane Corns took the fight and decided to just have a go.
Yeah. Kane Corns, he was doing the windmill. And Nathan Brown didn't look in that great a shape, Brownie, but took care. I tell you what, though, Kane Corns is in good shape.
Yeah, he is. He runs, doesn't he? I only saw about a minute, but it looked like Brownie knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I think he's done a bit of work behind the scenes, but it was like one of those corporate boxing nights, wasn't it? It was pretty...
Well, that's the only bit I saw. Who was Mitch? Mitch Robinson was in one, wasn't he?
Was he? Was he in one?
Oh, you didn't see that? Oh.
Didn't see.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's the dumbest sport in the world.
It's not
second dumbest. Second
after
dumbest.
After what? After football?
No, after the cage fighting, UFC thing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's the dumbest.
Well, we might be going.
What about just on that?
Yeah.
How are they going to mitigate those sports, mitigate the concussion problem?
Well, you'd be signing some kind of disclaimer, I'm sure, before you participate.
The idea of that is to punch someone in the head.
Yeah, exactly, though. It's kind of obvious, isn't it? We're going unchanged against Carlton. We kind of foreshadowed that happening. You thought it possibly might not happen, but. I think we were both kind of in agreement that it wouldn't be surprising to see us unchanged. Carlton make one change. Marchbank out, injured as usual, and Brody Kemp comes in. Bloody Marchbank, he must be the most injured guy in history that's managed to hang around. Like, he's been on an AFL list for a while now, former GWS player. He's always injured.
He's always.
Shows how good he must be if he just hung around this long.
I've kept him on my footy list, the fantasy footy list, the whole time. And I've got about three games out of him. I have. And I've got about three games out of him. But I'm keeping him because he's good. If he ever strings it together, look out. So,
looking forward to this one?
Absolutely. But you said it was our biggest, toughest test to date.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. I think spending 2 weeks in Adelaide, that's probably our toughest test, Jojo. But, I was talking to a good mate, Paul Rowe, today. He's over there in, he's the West Coast Eagles of our footy league. It's absolutely hopeless. He's over there in South Australia, going to gather around. And he said that when he got there, he said it's like when they wound back the clock for daylight savings in Adelaide, it ended up at 1974.
So, Adelaide's not that bad.
Horrendous.
It's not horrendous that bad. Fun. Whatever.
He lived there. He's from there and he's saying that. So, there you go.
I wouldn't mind going to this round. I reckon it'd be fun.
But do you know what? Unless you go, it means nothing to anyone else.
Where the game's played.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
Except that game today with the absolute straight boundary line.
Mm.
Did you see that?
Norwood. It's where we played last year, isn't it? Didn't that used to be the Trots track or the Greyhound track or something?
Is that where we played? Was it a straight boundary line?
Yeah, that's where we played last year against Gold Coast.
I didn't notice that. It was like a tennis court. Yeah. But yeah, that was weird. Oh, okay, I didn't know we had that last year. So
I reckon the one group of people that would be happy about this would surely be the television networks. Like with no games in Melbourne, the audiences coming in would have to be a little bit higher, wouldn't it?
Oh, have to be, wouldn't they? With the largest population or something, Melbourne or New South Wales, they'd have to be, wouldn't they? So, yeah, they'd be pretty happy. But, yeah, I think they make too much of it, you know.
Yeah.
Celebrate too much. It's just a bunch of games in footy in one state. Big deal. Just do it.
What about the game in the Barossa next year? You going to that one?
Is there one in the Barossa?
I think that they're saying it's going to be announced tomorrow in the Barossa.
What's that at the winery?
Yeah. everyone will be half cut by quarter time.
Yeah. you're going to go next year, aren't you?
Be worse kicking at goal than the Frio game last week. Will I go? If I can get there, yeah, I'd definitely go.
Oh, if you can get there, just fire up the jet jogger.
Yeah, sure. Do you see as well? Sorry, a bit off topic here, but David Koch came out and kind of anointed Josh Carr as the next head coach of Port Adelaide almost.
Oh, when did he do that?
Well, he didn't say. He said that they like to promote within. They like Port Adelaide people taking the job. And he said it wasn't endorsed by the board or anything like that, but he gave every indication that the next coach after Ken Hinckley will be Josh Carr.
Far out. Did he say that?
When has that ever worked, coming out publicly and saying that? Like, it just seems to every time someone does it, it just seems to destabilize the place.
Yeah, it doesn't sound a clever thing to say, does it? I mean, and then what, Port come out and spank Essendon tonight by 15 goals or whatever. So, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to say that. But having said that, we know Josh Carr went there because he'd been promised the role, surely.
Yeah, well, yeah, you would think so. But I just mean, like, coming out publicly and saying it, there doesn't seem... I don't understand, much like us saying we're going to win all these premierships, I don't understand why people give off information there's absolutely no need to, or make a comment that's absolutely unrequired.
Yeah, that you can be held accountable.
Whereas if you didn't say it, you're just not under any pressure to complete that task or do that at all anyway.
It's weird, isn't it?
I don't know. Carlton tomorrow, what holds the biggest fear for you? I think it's a pretty obvious one, but...
Yeah, the tall timber's up forward. But you know what? You're a bit dismissive of Carlton, Jojo. I don't share that.
What do you mean dismissive of Carlton? I said it was our biggest test so far.
Yeah, but you believe Carlton aren't that good. You say there's always, they're not the real deal. They're not, there's something missing.
I don't know. I just always have trouble believing in a club that, like, they had periods during last year where they'd, you know, maybe lacking a bit of heart at times. And I think you look through their team, even the team that's in for tomorrow.
Yep.
Adam Sard, Zach Williams, Mitch McGovern, Nick Newman, Blake Akers, Fantasia, Matty Kennedy, Elijah Hollins, who else? Chera, George Hewitt. They're all players that have played previously at another club.
What's your point?
I don't know why. I just don't wholly believe in teams that are put together.
In that sense. Yeah, okay. I get that. But some teams go, it's not as if they were given a chance at Carlton. Carlton went after them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but then it's like Zach Williams is a mercenary. You know, Blake Akers left for money. We won't put him in the mercenary category. Adam Sard left for money. Like a bunch of these guys
had to go.
Yeah, no, he did. That's what I'm saying. I'm not putting him in the same category. Yeah. But like a bunch of guys, Chera left to go home to be closer to his mum or whatever. Like, there's a bunch of guys that just are there for crap reasons. Like, everyone that plays for Frio at the moment, I would say you look through the list of players, is there because they want to be playing at Frio.
Yeah, I agree with that point. I'm not sure. I think they put a good team together.
Yeah, they have put a good team together. Yeah. But, I mean, like, this is – if they don't win it in the next couple of years, like, You're back where you started again.
Yeah, definitely. But some of those guys you rattled off.
Yeah.
They complement what they have sort of built. You know, like
all they've built is Paddy Cripps and Jacob Wittering, really, and Harry Mackay and Charlie Curnow.
Pretty good players to build a team around.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, no, it was just my comment. It's just the way I feel. I feel the same way about Essendon. I feel the same way about St Kilda. I just don't think they're the real deal.
I actually do. I reckon they've got a great spine, and I reckon those names that you threw out off half back, good runners.
Well, I guess we see when they win the flag this year, and you can rub it in my face. But I think when it comes down to it, I think sometimes some of these teams end up going to water when it matters.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm highly concerned on this game. I think we're going to get a genuine test to see where we are.
David King in that bit where he was talking about how much he didn't like Freo, like prior to that, he was kind of discussing this is a chance for Carlton to lay out their premiership credentials by giving us a bit of a hiding. And if they do put us away and put us away well, you know, do they go to premiership favourites or something close to it?
I think they'd be close to that now, wouldn't they? Along with Port Adelaide? Anyway.
Or GWS. Yeah.
GWS, yeah.
Sydney.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a lot. I mean, it's pretty wide open. There wouldn't be an out-and-out short favourite, I wouldn't have thought. The point is, if that's what David King's saying, is that as much as you think, as I think Carlton are a good side, they've not done any more than what we've done this year. That we've both played two of the same sides, and we both beat them. And they're both, North Melbourne and what was the other one? Can't think of the other one. But so they haven't really done any more. Oh, Brisbane, sorry. They beat Brisbane by a point. So if the form line stacks up, it should be a good game. But is it going to? I don't know.
Well, I think you look at Carlton and, you know, they've managed to improve their ball movement. Like, they're not all about just Paddy Cripps digging it out of the middle and then banging it forward and hoping one of the big guys take a mark. They're a little bit more sophisticated than that. But I think you've got to be careful not to be too dismissive of our defence. We've got the number one ranked defence in the comp at the moment. Probably the best key defender going around. And, you know, we generally don't let teams just walk goals in, even when they're going through periods of dominance like we'd seen in the last couple of weeks, especially early in games, first, second quarters, where we've been under the pump a little bit.
Yep.
You get in at quarter time, you get in at half time, you look at the margin, you're 12 points down at half time or 6 points down at quarter time, you go, bloody hell, we did all right there. Our defense holds up. Our defense holds up.
Yeah, it does. It does. I'll tell you what, right, I've got some numbers here for you, JoJo. I've got the numbers. You're right. We are ranked one in the league for defence. Carlton are third for inside 50s. This is where it could be the difference. They average 11 more inside 50s than us. We're 48 to 59. We're 16th in the league for inside 50s. And now scoring shots, we're absolutely bang on the same. I think we go at 23 each on average. They've kicked 8 goals more than us over the first 3 weeks. And because they're going at 67.5%, we're going at 55. So there's the accuracy, and then they've got the safety net of the additional inside 50s they generate. Okay? But on the flip side of that coin, as you just said, our defence is crazy. You know, Pearson Co., they could defend Elbow and Bowen flying separate jets to that solar panel event. Right? The best political spinners couldn't defend that, JoJo, but we could. So we're ranked one in the league for the least scoring shots against us, just 16. We're only letting 16 in through, but we're allowing 52 inside 50s. So what that says is you can get the ball into your 50-metre arc against us, but you have a tough time scoring from it.
Yeah.
So, but the problem here is an extra 11 inside 50s if we allow that, we need a bigger defensive effort from the mids and the forwards to
we need a battalion.
We do. to give the defenders a chop out. We cannot rely on them
But that's what we do, isn't it? I mean, like, inside, conceding inside 50s is almost a theme for us. And we did it last year, but couldn't defend them. The year before we did it, we could defend them.
I know, but you cannot put that much pressure on your defenders.
No, ideally not. But I'm saying that we can handle an inside 50 differential.
But we can. 11, that's a lot. But those other times we had a Brennan Cox or we had a – who else was down there? A Griffin Lowe a couple of years ago. Yep. We got a Josh Draper down there this week.
I think
this is the problem.
I think with Harry Mackay and Charlie Kerno, you've got to find a way to at least like nullify one of them. So one of them's got to have a negligible impact on the game.
Yeah.
And then with the other one, then you've got to try and just really put them in situations they don't want to be in. But I think if you get into a situation where they're both contributing to the cause,
you're in
not necessarily ripping the game apart, but if they're both in the game, I think we're in trouble. We need one of them to just be a ghost.
Yep. Yeah, no, you're right. And look, McKay goes at 2 goals a game for his career to date. He goes at nearly 3 goals a game against us. Kerno's never really got us. He's only played eight games against Freo. He's only kicked 12 goals. So he's only going at a goal and a half a game. But again, a Griffin Logue, a Brennan Cox, you know, whoever else, Alex Pierce, kicked 19 goals against the West Coast Welfare Club last year, Jojo. 19 goals he kicked. So,
West Coast Welfare.
The West Coast Welfare.
They wouldn't want that pick. You're never going to let them live it down, I reckon. That'd be a waste of it.
I really want them to get it. Because that puts a – if they get that pick, Jojo, that puts an asterisk next to every bit of success they have in the future forever.
To go with the asterisks you've already put on the past ones?
That's right. So, yeah, they're dead in the water. Just might as well pack it up if they take that pick.
Or either that or just be very comfortable with an asterisk.
Yeah, which they obviously are. So, tell me this. Can Hayden Young go back on the Kerno?
Possibly. I don't know. I don't think you want to lose him out of the midfield.
He was unbelievable.
He and Clark and Sharp were responsible for so much of our run. So I think you want to use that still. And, you know, those were the guys, you know, I reckon I've been talking about this for years, ever since we started the podcast, like us giving handballs and the receivers ready to have them and handball receives to kickers, to good kickers or runners. And those are the guys, that's how you get quick ball movement. That's how you get yourself into good positions to score. I don't know that we can afford to sacrifice Young. And I don't think he'd be the best option anyway. I think, you know, you give a Lukey Ryan the first crack at it.
No, I don't mean first go, but as you said, if both of them start to get a hold of us.
I'd send Josh Tracy back there.
You would. You actually might get your way this week. You might.
I don't think so. I reckon we'll get Lukey Ryan has been up to it. You think back to the COVID season. He was manning up on anyone that was in front of him. Like,
yeah, he was.
The biggest key forwards on the other team, and he was doing a job every week. Like this, we should have ultimate faith that he can go to Charlie Kerno and do a job good enough to help us win. And then if Pierce is on Mackay, then the rest of the guys can sort themselves out. I'm not too nervous with Lukey Ryan going to him at all.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
I don't know. For as much as it's being talked about, and I know we're talking about it and we're talking about it now.
Yeah.
I actually walk into the game on Saturday pretty comfortable that we're adequately covered. Like, if these guys pull one out of the box and destroy us, I think they're capable of that, obviously, because they're very good players.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going in there with adequate cover.
Yeah, that's right. And don't underestimate Ethan Hughes, Jogger.
Well,
okay. He's done the job before, 2019. Head over the ball, he hit Kerno. Kerno didn't play for another 2 years. Remember that? Did his knee. That was Ethan Hughes who did that.
Was it actually?
Huh?
Was it actually?
Yeah, it really was.
Far out.
I went back and had a look.
I don't know how to feel about that.
I know. So, Hughesy, you've got one job.
Obviously, the midfield is where the rest of the battle is going to be held, or the important battle for us. Fifey, Sarong, Brayshaw, it's a big three. Like, they're well and truly up to taking it to Cripps and Chera and their crew, especially if they continue playing like they did last week. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, for me, Cripps doesn't actually seem like the same player as he once was at the moment. He had those games where he just tear you apart.
Yeah.
Before. Yeah. And you just don't get the feeling at the moment that he's going to do it. Maybe he doesn't need to play in a way like that because he probably had to thrash his body to do it. But they do have a very good midfield. Their wide players are the ones that probably are more so a little bit damaging. For me, Ollie Hollins had a really good first season. Blake Akers, obviously, we know he's a mature winger and he did a great job for us in that year before he left us.
Yeah.
I think they're well acquitted in that midfield. We're going to have to win the ball at the source and win the contest. And that's how we changed the game last week. We're going to need to do it from the start against Carlton. I don't think we want to give them a jump by being a little bit lax in that area.
No way. No, they've got... And I mean, like... they're pretty competent. Like, they're very competent. George Hewitt, they're starting to use him as a little bit of a lockdown role at times. So... to me, this is why I think they're a much better side this year because they've got more strings to their bow, and you know, so you take care of those guys, and then even Jack Carroll's stepping up. Now, no, he's not. I'm not worried about him, but he's just another number that's coming through that you've got to take care of. I just think this will be a harder contest to contain them all than it has been previously. I'm with you about Cripps, but he has a knack for getting hold of us. Mm. Cripps does. So, I don't know. I'm not as confident as you, Dodo.
Well, I'm not overly confident of a win. I'm confident of good showing. I think that the boys will get there. They'll give us... I don't reckon we'll get blown out. I think there's every chance we could lose, but I think there's every chance we could win as well. I think there's a really good chance it's going to be a close contest. And we've seen that before between the two teams.
I'm still talking about the middle. I'm not convinced they won't get us in the middle.
Mate, I reckon we've seen marked improvement from our midfield crew. And I reckon, you know, having Fife back in there, fit, will make a massive difference, especially in a game like this.
Yep.
Sarong and Brayshaw are both up on that same level at the moment, both playing really, really good footy.
Hmm.
I reckon Chera and Hewitt would be as worried about Brayshaw, Sarong, Fife as we are about Kerno or McKay, I think. I think they'd be pretty concerned about the midfield battle.
No, that's true. And it probably leads back to that we're in very similar shape, both teams at the moment. So it should be. It should really be a good battle. You know, they've added Elijah Hollins. That guy can play, Jojo.
Oh, it was absolute steal from Gold Coast. That was unreal.
Isn't it? Wasn't it? So there's another one that can bob up. You know, Aratio can come on. If Aratio gets going...
Oh, I think Aratio's cooked. He'll kick six now.
You're out of control.
Nah, he's no good.
Lockie Fogarty.
He's pretty tough. I don't mind him.
Yeah, forward pressure. He really puts on that forward pressure. So that's what I mean. So they've got... They're a different side. They, you know, once they were just a midfield kicker forward, they're a different side now, you know.
What about our forward line? I mean, you probably don't... You want to be careful kicking it too high in the air because McGovern, you know, not as good as his brother, but he's still a good mark. Wietering's really good when he's up and going. He's just coming back this year. I think he was out the first couple of rounds, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. And he'd be better for the run last week.
I think the problem with our forward line is ourselves, not who we're going to come up against. Yeah. I don't think that Tabner and Amos have really combined, and neither is Tabner and Tracy. Is Tabs feeling? Do you reckon he's feeling too much pressure that he's got to hit the scoreboard? He's got to do something to justify his place. Does it look a little bit like that?
Maybe that he hasn't played much footy with Tracy and Amos,
or has no one filled him in on the hierarchy? Because it kind of looks like
he thinks he's the man, doesn't he?
A little bit. And I love Tabs more than anyone. But I think there was too many examples last week and the week before of him cutting guys off, cutting across leading lanes, getting in the way, standing still in the square, not creating space. I mean, we've seen how well Tracy and Amos work together. The way they work, you know, Tracy puts on a block, Amos will go, whatever it is. It just didn't seem to be as much of that kind of movement when Tabs was down there. And that's the concern for me with this forward line. I think... He's got to buy into working for Amos and Tracy, to be honest. Like, he's the number three coming in at this point. He's got to do some hard work and create some opportunities for those other tools.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And he's got to get up the ground.
Yeah.
He does that once or twice early on. Has he not got the tank anymore, or is he not?
Well, I don't know. It must be kind of half instruction, because there's so many times where we've got too deep. And if it's, even if it's Tracy Amos or it's Amos and Tabs or whatever,
yeah.
I'd much prefer to see Amos give him the forward 50 by himself and let him go to work, lead up at the footy, give him some space. Get Tabs out of there. Get Tracy out of there. Let's just give Amos some space. We spoke on the last pod. You know, we barely spoke about Amos because we didn't really see him. Mm. But I think you've got to, you know, got a kid like that, he's going to need some room. You can't, everyone can't be back. We're not playing King of the Pack at lunchtime at the footy. Like, he needs some room in the forward 50 to operate. So I don't think we need another tall standing on his hip. He's got enough skill. He's got enough strength. He looks bigger. He looks so much bigger this year. And he worked off his man a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. Let's give him an opportunity to do it one out if we can.
All we need to do is look up the other end of the ground and see how McKay and Curnow operate. They don't get in each other's way.
Yeah, no, but McKay used to get in Curnow's way, I reckon.
Yeah, but they don't. Like, if you watch
him
now,
it's a learned behaviour now. He knows his spot.
Yep. And Curnow's the one who gets right up the ground. I mean, they both do at times, you know.
Yeah.
So that's an important part that we just don't seem to do, or with Tabs anyway. So,
but no, Luke Jackson. Luke Jackson will come up almost against a like-for-like in De Koning in terms of the athletic profile. Mm. I think that will suit him better than going up against a banger. I think you can see him taking De Koning to the cleaners at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe not in getting first hand on the footy, but he'll take him forward, take him back. And I think what Jackson's done, and we can see already this year, is he's obviously worked on his forward craft throughout the off-season. You take these ruckmen back deep. They're not defenders. They're ruckmen. They just look all at sea against him when he goes forward. I think Jackson taking De Koning forward as much as possible and trying to catch him out and make him a defender, that'll bear fruit for us if we can get that going.
I wrote that exactly down here. That's where we can exploit them. That's probably the one area that I'm pretty confident we can exploit Carlton tomorrow. So I agree. I think Jackson will play the game that he probably played, you know, not last week, the week before. So looking forward to that one. Looking forward to him. We might go the 20-plus possessions, JoJo.
He might need to be honest. We got an email during the week. It's only round four, but this conversation is going to be alive pretty much all season. It kind of fits into this, you know, with our tall forward ruck setup. In terms of having the three first-round draft picks next year, do we trade them or keep them? I think I've already gone on the pod and said, I reckon we can't take them because we can't give the kids the opportunity that you'd pick. But I think in terms of what you spend them on, it's going to be a pretty interesting exercise in looking at this as the season unfolds, because pre-season we're all, okay, Logan McDonald's coming to Freo. You know, whack a purple jumper on him, it's a done deal. But if JT continues playing the way he is, and I think he is at the moment, he's doing every little bit of what you'd expect and want from him to do this season. Mm. It's hard to imagine you're going to go and spend a whole bunch of draft capital recruiting over the top of him.
No, that's right. That's right. I mean, we put time and effort into him, and we've turned him into an asset. You're not going to go and do that.
Well, the other thing is as well, like, Amos is a Rolls Royce, and like, it's great having a Rolls Royce up front. But do you need two of the same car?
No, that's right.
Tracy brings something to the forward line as a tall. And I think when he was on the pod with us, brought up to his kind of begrudging the comparison to Brody Majacek. But he's doing a lot of Majacek stuff from when he first started at Collingwood. A lot of that unheralded stuff. He seems to be thriving on it now. And each game this start of the year, I was kind of critical of him, probably in round one, of missing a few opportunities to do it. But you can see him building into it. He seems to almost be thriving on it now the last couple of weeks. He's getting as physical as he can be. He's been great in the ruck. You know, he's really making that spot his own.
Shifting of position, JoJo?
I've never been anti-Josh Tracy.
Oh, come on.
My only thing, and you know this, and you keep on trying to turn it around, is that we don't have any other big bodies to send back. And I still maintain that.
You're out of control. That's not what you were saying last year.
No, we're not having that conversation now anyway. We're having the one about what do we spend. What do you think, if we're going to trade the draft picks, what do you think we go for? Because I was sold that it was going to be a key forward, but I'm not so sure now.
I'm a bit the same because I'm thinking, what else are you going to use them on?
Well, you go for I think Gordon's name's been mentioned.
Oh, come on. You're not getting Gordon.
Getting Errol. We'll get Errol.
Errol.
No, or a player like that, someone to complement the midfield, someone who can play on the outside, maybe play on the, like a half forward flank, go forward, kick a goal, some kind of play. And it all depends as well, to be honest. This question's so hypothetical because what happens if Collingwood continue to tank? What happens if Port Adelaide fall in a hole? You don't know where the picks are going to land. So
no, that's right.
And then conversely to that, what happens if we all finish in the top four and you're dealing with picks 17, 18, and 19 or something? Like, it's a hard conversation to have because you really don't know what you're talking about until we get to the midpoint of the season or, you know, three quarters way through the season. You have an understanding of where the picks are going to land.
If we were to, you know, bulk up the forward line era, is that guy we watched tonight any chance, Jojo? The WA boy, Mitch Georgiades? Or is he signed?
He just re-signed, didn't he?
He did re-sign, did he?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Mind you, that doesn't seem to matter, does it?
Well, didn't they go? That was the story last year. They went over and tapped him up. Wasn't supposedly Belly over in South Australia having a
call? Ah, is that right? Is that what they did? Okay.
He's at Hale when he played. I remember the story of the cork he had.
Yeah.
You know, he missed all of his year 12 year. He had to get a cork cut out of his leg.
Cut out?
Yeah.
What, did he get shot with a wine bottle or something?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it's a pretty serious cork. He's a super talented player. He's been very, very unlucky with injuries for a long time.
I'm not a medical person, Jed. I don't understand, you know, how the body all works. But isn't that just blood? How do you cut that out?
It required surgery.
Jeez.
Is that serious?
Yeah. Okay.
So what are we at? Just after 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at Adelaide Oval. Thank God we're not playing at Norwood.
Yeah.
You really draw the short straw playing at Norwood, don't you? God. What? Do they not have any other grounds? How can we have Gather Round in Adelaide for the next 300 years if they've got two ovals and a winery in the Barossa?
No, it's ridiculous. I didn't realise that was the ground we played on last year. But that straight blew me away, that straight boundary. How can you have an AFL game on a ground that's got an absolute straight boundary? It doesn't, so much for, you know, equalisation of the league and a fair playing field and all that. I can't believe it.
I suppose every team plays on the same straight boundary.
Well, no, they don't. Some teams don't. Most of the teams play at Adelaide Oval. It seems weird. But, yeah, that's right. How can you keep playing there if you've only got two grounds? South Australia, great place, isn't it? Two grounds. Two football grounds. Where do they play the sand for?
Well, that's what I was wondering. Surely there's a better – maybe the Norwood ground has the highest capacity because what did they get? I think they got 40-something tonight. They got 40-something yesterday, and they were saying the crowds are up over 104,000 for the round so far. So Norwood must hold, what, like 10 to 12, 13, something like that. Don't know.
But they played –
It would be capacity based, surely.
Yeah, yeah. They played both games with the Adelaide teams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
but also Brisbane North, like you can't play that Adelaide. You wouldn't want to play that Adelaide Oval.
No, that's true.
You could play that at McGilvray.
That was horrendous.
How do you know what's frustrating about these teams? How did North put in a reasonable performance against us, yep. And then serve that up against Brisbane?
I don't know. I think it was that straight boundary. I think they. I don't know, Jada. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? But is that what they do? These teams that are on, you know.
No, no. But why do we always seem to catch the mediocre teams on their good day?
Yeah, we do. It does feel like that, doesn't it? What about Essendon tonight? Is Brad Scott North Melbourneing them?
I've said this a couple of times. He is. They'll be wearing blue and white stripes soon.
I didn't believe you till I watched them tonight.
They were horrific.
They were horrendous. So
there's a bunch of guys putting up fake numbers in that team.
There is, isn't there? Do you want to name them?
No.
No, of course you don't.
Well, they just play. They play a stupid brand of footy, and I reckon they cheat a lot. And I just mean they cheat in the way, in terms of not playing as a team, in the way they defend, all the rest of it. There's too many guys out there looking for their own footy, not thinking about defending their own goal, and they got shown up big time. That could have been a horrendous defeat. They could have lost by 100-plus easy tonight.
Yeah, they could. I mean, remember what you said to me at halftime? Nick Martin's a fraud. Yeah, I think that was the word you used. He's a fraud.
No, yeah. I didn't say that. I'm just saying like he's going and running around collecting the footy. I think he had 20 at halftime. But in a good team that plays the right way, he's not just running willy nilly whatever he wants.
I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah. I don't know when he defends or when he covers off. It seems to be very little discipline in the way they play.
Do you know what?
You only get to watch them on TV, so you don't see it on the ground. But
no.
I don't know. They've been crap for years, and I think.
But do you know with Nick Martin, right now? Yeah, he gets a ton of it. And do you know last week? He knew he had something close to 30 at half time because he said in an interview after the game, well, at half time, I thought, I'm on track here for 50. He's counting his stats. He said that.
A lot of guys do that, though.
Your mind's not on where it should be if you're counting your stats, sure.
Well, also, they put it up on the big screen half the time as well.
Yeah, okay, true.
Yeah,
he was taking the kick-ins and stepping one step over the line and to get a stat.
That's a good trick, isn't it?
Isn't it? Jeez. But he's got good skills though. His skills are good. Like he uses the ball.
No, I'm not knocking him. I'm knocking Essendon. Like he'd go and do what you want. If everyone else is doing it, go grab your 50. But
I think you're knocking him.
They're no good. Yeah. They're no good. What do you think about tomorrow? Are you confident? Not confident? You're telling us we're going to win, we're not going to win.
I think we'll make a game of it. I'm not confident of getting the win, but I think we'll... It sounds like I'm having 50 cents each way. It wouldn't surprise me if we won, but I just think Carlton are a bit more... That extra 11, 12 inside 50s, that's massive. And I know we're great. I know we're number one in defence and all that. But if it becomes relentless and repeat entry after repeat entry, and if, you know, a guy who bobs up and kicks a couple against us all the time is Cottrell. And I'm not saying he's going to do it again, but he just said, we put so much time into Kerno and McKay and these guys, which you've got to do. And then a Cottrell bobs up and kicks a couple on you. They've just got a couple of guys that could do that tomorrow. And as I said, I don't think they're the same team they were last year. I think they're more grounded, they're more rounded. They've got more bows to their more strings to their bow.
More bows to their strings. I have been having a bit of trouble sleeping lately, but Tom Cottrell is not going to be the reason I can't sleep tonight.
No.
Give you the hot tip. I reckon the start to the game tomorrow is crucial. If we start like we have been, I think we're in a world of hurt. I think if you're going to try and play catch up against this team, which I think would be conducive to front running, then you're probably up against it. But if we can get off on the right foot and play like we played for the last three quarters of last week from the get-go, I reckon there will come a point in the game where Carlton won't want to know about it anymore.
You really reckon that?
I don't think if we were as combative and as hard tackling, hard running as what we were last week, I don't know. I'm allowed an opinion. You're allowed an opinion.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're up to it. I don't think they want to know about it.
You're saying they'll put the white flag up.
If we can do it from start to finish, and that's a big if because we haven't done it once. But I just think the start's crucial. We can't let them know that we're vulnerable at any point. We've got to come out and win, you know, hard at the contest. And we weren't. We were a bit soft at the contest to start the game last week.
We were. We absolutely were.
So right. I just think we can't afford that. We do that, I think we'll be in a world of hurt. But if we come out and give it to them from the start, I think if you can maintain it, I think we can do that. I think we can play that game for longer than they can.
Yeah, okay. That's good. We end up 4-0. It'll only be the second time in our history we've done it. We did it in 2015. And we lost a
prelim. Did we win a flag last time we did it?
Lost a prelim to Hawthorn, I think. Second time ever if we win tomorrow.
Was that the team that Crowles reckons was our best ever team? Is that what he?
No. He was reckoning the 2008, I think, team.
Oh, right.
He reckoned the early.
Yeah.
Which is probably right. And when you go back and look at it, but. We were more of a tough Ross Lyon type combative team in 2013-15 Yeah.
It's a tough little stretch. I know you like Essendon were poor tonight, but Port Adelaide on the flip side were very, very good. Tough little stretch of 2 weeks we got, isn't it, before we head into the round six bye?
It's actually round six bye. It's actually, I was looking at that the other day. It's quite a little tough period that we've got. We've got Carlton, as you said, the bye. Then the Bulldogs, Richmond, Sydney. So Carlton, Port Adelaide, West Coast, Bulldogs, Richmond, Sydney. That's not an easy. We need to. We're going to have to pinch a few of those somehow.
If we split this trip to Adelaide, you'd have to be stoked with that, I reckon.
I'd take that. If we come away with 1-1, I'd grab that. Be very, very happy. Because on the way Port Adelaide went tonight, kind of rosy, JoJo. How good's that guy? Flipping heck. And we got them next week at Adelaide Oval.
He was very good. You watch those guys out in the middle when Butters, Rosie, and Horn Francis are all in there. The way that Essendon players were just getting pushed under the footy or manhandled, I can't see him being able to do that to Fife or Sarong or Brayshaw.
No,
they were just movable witches' hats at points. They were kind of just putting them wherever they wanted them. If they wanted them under the ball, they'd just get them under the ball. If they wanted them on their hip and push them out, they just did that.
But
their midfield's a bit of a worry. Essendon, let's not bag Essendon. I think Port were very good, but Essendon were pretty poor in that area. Like if you can't get a repeat bounce, like when you're getting slaughtered like that off the initial bounce, like surely you can engineer some way to get a repeat stoppage and get some more players up to the stoppage, so you just don't get annihilated out of the middle time after time. They got absolutely hammered.
Yeah, he is very clever though. Both of them, Rosie and Butters, the speed. Yeah. The speed that Rosie can turn on.
You look super fast. If you win the ball out the front of a stoppage and then Essendon players are all bloody slow anyway.
He is super fast though.
Yeah, he is fast. But I mean, how fast do you want to look?
He looked extra fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true.
They're a super midfield though.
They do. They are. Horn Francis, far out. They're really good, aren't they? It's a bit of a scary prospect, not a couple of weeks' time. But
I suppose we just worry about this week first.
We're getting a bit ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we won, JoJo, but I'm not. I wouldn't be taking – I think we're about $2.20. I wouldn't be taking that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like enough. No. You've reimagined this Mikasa Property Boutique competition again.
Yep.
You put a lot of time and effort into it. It seemed like it was a bit of a half-baked concoction the first time you brought it out.
Yep.
The executives down there at Mikasa came to you and said, hang on a minute, we're not happy to put our name to this.
Yeah.
Because they won't put their name to anything second rate.
No.
So you've had to go back to the... you've had to go back to the drawing board. What do you come up with?
Well, it's about three-quarters half-baked now. So three-quarters half-baked. Three-quarters baked.
Is that less than half-baked?
Three-quarters of half.
We could have taken a quarter of a step back.
We should have just took the half bait. No, look, we've got it up and going. I said to the Macassar Property Boutique team, stick with me. It probably won't be a good idea, but stick with me anyway.
Would they give you a two-week extension, JL style?
Yeah. Yeah, get this happening, otherwise we're out. That's what they said. I don't blame them.
That's what you want in your agent, though. You don't want someone dilly-dallying around making wishy-washy comment. You want decisiveness.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So we're in, let's say we're in the beta testing mode. We're still in that. So we're gonna run it this week.
Well, so this is the preseason, is it?
Yeah, sort of the preseason, but it's real, if you know what I mean. It's live, but we're still testing.
So I still have to put up the weekly prize. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, we've got a great prize. I've got a really good prize, Jody. There's going to be a $50 voucher from your business, Two Brothers Foods. And don't worry, I look at your books, you can afford it. So so that's going to be the prize. It's a beauty. So what you got to do, right? This is what we're going to do. You need to pick the player you think will get the most meters gained in the first quarter and the number of meters he'll get, Freo player. Okay? Now, you also need to include the winner of the game and the margin, because we'll use that if there's a tie.
It's
very complicated, Jojo.
Yeah, it's sounding like it.
I'll put a post up on about it on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Then So under those posts, you need to post your details there, your player, number of metres gained, who will win Carlton for the margin, and you have to tag Mikasa Property Boutique in it, except Twitter, because they're not on Twitter. So if you do it on Facebook and Instagram, Mikasa Property Boutique, tag them in your post. Now, it closes at 11 a.m. Saturday morning, tomorrow morning. So any
Doesn't the game start at 1?
Yeah, but I'm giving myself a bit of a safety net in case things go wrong, John. It's a very good chance of that. So 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. We won't take entries that are put on there after that.
Imagine that if that's when momentum starts to build, like 10:30, 10:45 tomorrow, and you're like, oh, great, everyone's getting into the competition. Then all the entries start rolling in after 11. You're getting all excited that your competition's taking off. They're all ineligible entries after 11 because you've said it. You're going to have to deal with the blowback.
I'll deal with it. Wouldn't be the first time. Now,
I think that's very low as well. It's as you mentioned at the start, this competition does still feel a little bit undercooked.
It absolutely is undercooked. You wouldn't want to eat this and you'll get very sick. It's very undercooked, but we're going to run with it and we'll tinker with it along the way and we'll patch it up and we'll bolt on. But as you said, $50 voucher from your place, Two Brothers Foods.
Yeah, but you don't want to redeem it too soon because we've got all that flooding in the centre of the country. We don't have much stock.
No, get it straight away. Just go in and get it. I'll tell you what, if you win it, get the hot and spicy almonds. Get those.
Discontinue. $50.
What?
I think they are. I'm pretty sure they
are. I keep buying them off you.
You haven't bought anything in about 15 years.
I'll tell you what, you reckon heroin's addictive? Get those spicy almonds. They're addictive. So the winner will come from whoever nails the player and the meters gained bang on, or if not, the player that had the closest prediction of meters gained without going over it. Now, if no one picks the right player,
let's jackpot it.
Jackpot? $100? Jeez.
Huh? That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, if no one picks the right player, no one wins.
Okay.
That's right.
You don't have to pick the meters, you've got to pick the player.
Clear as an erupting volcano on an overcast night, JJ, this is. So that we'll all be on the posts on the social media, so get involved. 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, cut it off. You can turn comments off, can we? We'll do that.
Yeah.
After that.
Can we do a jackpot though? I like the idea of a jackpot.
So, okay, so what are you saying?
Because it builds excitement, doesn't it? Like, if no one gets the player and then we go
double up next week. It's like Chase the Ace at the pub.
Yeah, exactly.
Good idea. Okay, so it's got to be, yes. So are we saying it's got to be bang on?
No, you've got to pick the player. But if no one picks the player, then we jackpot.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right. We'll get across the details.
Yeah, this is... You can do it in your own time. I'm going to sleep after this.
Yes.
What time is it?
This will be good, Jada. This will be really good. Hey, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Check it all out on social media tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning? Yeah, surely you get it up tonight. What else you got to do?
I've got to go to bed. No, I'll put it up tonight. I'll put it up tonight. I'll tell you what else. I got a sneak peek at a couple of new listings. The Mikasa team are getting, JoJo. I'm telling you, picture the tent, camp out, line up worthy. They are very, very nice properties in this market. Tommy Bale, he's got a ripping place in Applecross coming on. And the beautiful Leanne Jones. Did you know there's gold in Hamilton Hill? I'm telling you, there is Hamilton Hill gold, and she's got it coming on the market. So,
I feel like you're in the wrong industry. You could be the auctioneer.
I used to be in real estate. Did you know that?
I did know that.
And if you're thinking of buying, selling, go and see them. Oh, you know what I've got too? I've got another gift for listeners. I'll give the full details Monday.
Yeah, keep that up the sleeve.
Keep that up the sleeve. But if you're thinking of buying, selling, go and see them. Tell them you're from the Restump, and they'll look after you, and we'll look after you. There you go.
All right, I've had enough. Nobody good luck knows to everyone.
What the hell is going on?
We're hoping for a good result tomorrow. What a start that would be. 4-0. I don't know.
4-0.
Yeah. The bus companies would be looking for new buses. Anyway, until Monday when we review it and talk about our fantastic win, are you still down with the restump?
Look, I appear so, but the beard doesn't make the philosopher.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah. Since you